This is the Best Of Daily Devotion Series by Pastor Tim Dodson from Believers Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. For more information on Tim Dodson or Believers Church, visit believerstogether.com.
Paul the Apostle, throughout all of his writings, as well as the passage that we have before us today, has consistently taught that salvation begins and ends with God. We can do nothing to be saved on our own merit. All we get to do is accept God's gift of salvation. There's no other way to receive forgiveness from sin. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 today, and we're going to be picking it up in verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. Paul, writing to this church in Thessalonica, for the past few times we're together, have been talking a lot about the second coming of Jesus Christ, the end times events, the manifest of the Antichrist, etc. With all of that now like water under the bridge, he moves on and it plays into what he said. So hear what he has to say next. He says in verse 13, But we are bound to always give thanks to God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you through our good news for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold the traditions which you were taught by us, whether by word or by letter. Throughout Scripture, God, as well as several of the writers of Scripture, uses the picture of adoption to describe God's relationship with his people. And it's a good picture because when it comes to adoption, well, the child really does nothing. The child's not the initiator. He doesn't do the choosing. I mean, the parents are the initiator. They're the ones who begin the process as well as see it through step by step to the end of the process. The child doesn't invite the parents into his life, quote unquote. Yet somewhere along the way, we as a greater modern church have begun to use a different language. We say we have invited Jesus into our hearts. Yet I think one would be hard-pressed to find that language or even the idea of that in Scripture. Fact is, even before we were born, God began a very long process of inviting us. Now, please note, I'm not promoting some Calvinistic position here, because in the reality, God does this for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, not just a select few. But while we were still alone in our sins, God was planning to save us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. The only way we can become a part of the family of God is through an unimaginable love that is completely out of our control. We no doubt will see and experience a decision, a choice at some point in our lives, but Christianity does not begin with our pursuit of Christ. It begins rather with his pursuit of us. It doesn't start with an invitation to Jesus, but rather an invitation from Jesus. The lack of clarity on this issue, I think, has had a profound effect upon the very doctrines of our faith. For example, we can tend to be taken back, offended even, by God's reaction towards sin in Scripture. We don't always discuss it publicly, but you know, we can kind of turn the pages of Scripture and what do we read? We read of murder and wickedness and sexual immorality and corruption and laziness and unwillingness to place God first and to serve him. And then we see God's reaction to all of that. Fire raining down on Sodom and Gomorrah, people being stoned to death for working on the Sabbath, Achan and his family being killed for disobeying God and keeping the plunder from the battle in Joshua. And then virtually the same thing happened to Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament in the book of Acts. Nadab and Abihu were consumed by fire for not following God's direction. Even poor Uzzah, who died when he touched the Ark of the Covenant. All of this, I think, can seem, well, a bit severe. Again, even if we don't want to publicly say so. Now, the problem is our perspective, though, because we view sin through man-centered eyes. Like salvation, we place ourselves front and center instead of placing God out there. We somehow feel that, you know, we should be the one who decides about all of these things. But gang, sin is not measured by us. It's measured rather by the magnitude of the one who is sinned against. So if sin, let's say, is against my dog, you know, I'm probably not going to pay too dearly for that, right? If I sin against you, well, there's going to be a greater penalty because, well, my guilt is sure and public. Now, if I sin against the infinite, holy, and eternal Creator God, well, then I'm infinitely guilty and worthy of some extreme penalty, right? The Bible says we're dead in our sins. Paul told the Ephesians that you were dead in transgressions and sins in which you were once walked according to the course of this world, quote unquote. Well, that's some pretty emphatic language, right? You mean we're not just damaged goods? No, Bible says we're dead. So how can dead people invite someone else to give them life? Bottom line, if my heart stops and I'm flatlining, I don't invite people to resuscitate me. No, God chose us, pursued us, and saved us. And he did so not because of any merit on my part, but simply because he loved me completely and eternally.
That was a daily devotion by Pastor Tim Dodson from Believers Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. For more information on Tim Dodson or Believers Church, visit believerstogether.com.